You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. To the moon and back, U.S. international gas markets strap in for wild winter ride. Published by Lindsay Schneider. Last week, panic over gas availability and energy reliability this winter sent international natural gas and LNG prices above $30 per million BTU for the first time. Asia's Japan-Korea Marker, JKM, Europe's Dutch Tidal Transfer Facility, TTF, and the UK National Balancing Point, NBP, once again had multiple days in a row of all-time high settlements as the undersupplied market struggles to find balance. The global shortage has also impacted the gas-rich U.S. market, which is linked to it through LNG exports. The U.S. markets are tight and might also face undersupply this winter, albeit probably not to the point of triggering reliability issues that are already emerging abroad. If it did, the U.S. exports nearly 10 BCF per day of LNG, which could be throttled back to free up additional supplies for domestic use. Nonetheless, Henry Hub prices climbed to nearly $6 per million BTU last week and hit post-2008 record highs. This is by no means the first time various markets have faced considerable imbalance. In fact, last year at this time we were coming out of a period of widespread oversupply and record low gas prices. But it's certainly foreboding that it's not even winter yet, and prices are skyrocketing to new heights. So the big question on everyone's mind is, how bad could this get? The answer, of course, is complicated and heavily dependent on weather. In today's RBN blog, To the Moon and Back, U.S. international gas markets strap in for wild winter ride, Lindsay Schneider takes a look at how we got here, how LNG has intertwined the international energy markets more than ever, and what that means for the winter ahead. There are a host of factors, domestic and international, that drive the world's major gas-consuming markets. What ties the various gas markets to each other is, of course, LNG. In 2020, the U.S. was the third largest exporter of LNG, exporting nearly 2,400 BCF for the year, behind only Australia and Qatar. And that was during a year when most U.S. terminals ran well below full utilization for a large chunk of the year as COVID caused more cargoes to be canceled than lifted over summer 2020. If normalized over the year, U.S. exports last year came to about 6.5 BCF per day. This year to date, with terminals operating mostly at full capacity and new trains coming online, the U.S. has averaged 9.25 BCF per day, only about 1.2 BCF per day behind where Australian and Qatari exports each were last year. As LNG output in the U.S. has grown, so has the connection between U.S. gas prices and those of its export trading partners. LNG exports have added nearly 11 BCF per day of feed gas demand since 2016, and that's soon to be 12.25 BCF per day as two new LNG projects come online early next year. See here my train a-comin'. Additionally, that demand is year-round, which means the U.S. market needs to contend with feed gas demand on top of the winter peak for U.S. domestic demand. This winter, feed gas demand is likely to be about 2.6 BCF per day above last winter's levels based on capacity expansions and the expectation that the terminals run at full capacity all winter, though operational issues and weather can always throw a wrench into that, like we saw last February with Winter Storm Uri. While the connection between the U.S. and its trading partners is heavily influencing the benchmark price at Henry Hub right now, the U.S. generally has enough production to support its own demand as well as exports. That surplus is a big reason why LNG exports were developed here in the first place. But the COVID recovery has been lopsided, with the rebound in demand outpacing supply gains. We are now facing a period of high demand after a year that saw capital expenditures across the energy industry slashed and relatively little investment in supplies or infrastructure. See, where has all the capex gone? That has left U.S. production levels well below what had been expected when the newest LNG projects were sanctioned, pre-COVID. Further, producers haven't responded as forcefully to the high domestic prices as they might have in the recent past. Even if they did, turning on additional gas supplies is not instantaneous. During the best of times, there are lags for drilling and completing wells, but the market is also experiencing labor and equipment shortages, and upstream producers are still wary of sticking their necks out too far, even though prices right now are supportive. U.S. gas production is above this time last year, but still not back to pre-COVID levels, and as a consequence of the higher demand and lackluster supply, storage this year is well below the level from last year and even the five-year average. So the U.S. gas market is not at a point of impending doom, but it's certainly tighter than it has been in a while. And gas producers have shown restraint, despite the highest fall-time gas prices seen in 13 years. As a consequence, U.S. prices are reacting in an outsized way to movements in global gas prices. For regions that consume LNG like Europe and Asia, their markets are even more intertwined than between exporters and importers. LNG is still a market of individual deals and contracts rather than a robust and public market like oil or natural gas in the U.S. Many countries that participate don't even have a gas pricing index but price LNG off oil or, increasingly, one of the popular international benchmarks, JKM for Asia and TTF and NBP for Europe, see you're the best around. Prices in those markets have hit record levels repeatedly since June. Europe has a robust gas market, and LNG accounts for around 30% of the European Union's gas supply, with the rest either produced in Europe or piped in from Russia. Asia does not have a gas market independent of LNG. The increased reliance on LNG in Asia and Europe has linked those markets. While each has its own factors that influence prices, the markets balance because they are competing for the same marginal supply. The gas shortage is considerably grimmer in Europe and parts of Asia than in the US. The demand recovery that followed the COVID lockdowns coincided with a number of weather-driven events that put repeated and increasing upward price pressure on the market. The exact ingredients have been building for some time, and we've covered many of those in numerous blogs, most recently in It's Too Late. In short, the rebounding demand, low capital expenditures on energy supplies, numerous weather and operational supply disrupting events, hurricanes, maintenance, outages, etc., and just generally bullish weather, cold winters followed by hot summers, have created a perfect storm of bullish market conditions since last fall that have driven us to a potentially dangerous shortage in some parts of the world. The problem is not just with needing more gas, but for multiple countries, also more electricity. And at this point, they're not picky about the generator, regardless of carbon footprint. European renewable energy ran well below typical output throughout the summer, which increased the need for gas-fired generation. This has put upward pressure on carbon prices, see I won't back down, which has, in turn, put more pressure on gas prices. In China, a coal shortage, which has already caused blackouts, has led Chinese buyers to bid up the market to secure additional LNG, with government officials reportedly telling energy firms in the country to secure supplies for winter regardless of the cost in order to prevent additional power outages. The news out of China is what caused the latest run-up of gas prices last week. As Figure 2 shows, JKM climbed more than $3.50 per million BTU over the past week and settled as high as $31.10 per million BTU on Thursday before falling slightly Friday. European markets followed closely behind all week and then surpassed JKM on Friday, with TTF settling at $31.85 per million BTU and NBP at $33.87 per million BTU. Prices are caught in an upward spiral as the scarcity extending across multiple regions and commodities has intensified competition for LNG cargoes. As shortages persist, even oil prices could feel an upward pull as well. With gas and coal short, oil may be needed to serve electricity demand at a higher than normal level this winter. Fear for this winter is mounting, and the first cold snap of the year has the potential to send gas prices at home and abroad to the moon. We've seen other instances of an under- or oversupply causing wild price reactions in isolated markets or due to localized constraints. Just this past February, Winter Storm Uri sent gas prices in the U.S. mid-continent to $1,000 per million BTU. See, east is east, west is west. Winter spikes, albeit not to that extent, also happen nearly every year in New England. In more recent years, we've also seen similar spikes and volatility in the Pacific Northwest and Southern California, which are now the most premium markets in the country. See baby, I need your gas, electrical storm, and almost is never enough. However, the widespread global and cross-commodity nature of this year's supply crunch leaves winter gas prices especially vulnerable to these outsized spikes. In the U.S., during winter, gas is prioritized for heating demand first, and then power and industrial demand. But when there's not enough to go around, the price of gas rises to incentivize another source of power to turn on, typically coal, if it's not already running, and then fuel oil at the high end. This year oil prices are above $75 per barrel, nearly double where they were this time last year and more than $15 per barrel higher than where they were last winter, so that balance in the gas market will come at a higher price. And if Henry Hub is high enough to turn on expensive oil generation across the country, what does that mean for LNG exports? If U.S. exports shut in because of either high prices here or lack of available gas, that puts international markets in an even worse position. The spiral continues, and unless something dramatically changes, it's difficult to imagine a way out before winter's end. In addition to prices being more volatile, the baseline heading into this winter is already at a higher level than in years past, and with U.S. markets tight and global markets facing extreme shortages, that pressure is not going anywhere anytime soon. It will take time for this fear to unwind. A warm winter would help, but unless and until that happens, buckle up, because this winter is likely to be a wild and volatile ride. To the Moon and Back was written by Darren Hayes and Daniel Jones, Savage Garden. It appears as the first song on the duo's debut album, Savage Garden. Released as a single in November 1996, the song went to number 24 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It went to number 1 in the band's native Australia, according to the Australian Recording Industry Association, ARIA, charts. Personnel on the record were Darren Hayes, lead, backing vocals, Daniel Jones, keyboards, sequencing, guitars, vocals, Terapi Richmond, drums, percussion, Alex Hewitson, bass, Rex Goh, guitars, and Jackie Ortsotchke, strings. The Savage Garden album was recorded in Australia between 1995 and 1996, with Charles Fisher producing. Released in March 1997, it went to number 3 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 7X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. The album won 10 ARIA Awards in Australia. 8 singles were released from the LP. Savage Garden was an Australian pop duo formed in Brisbane, Queensland in 1993 by Darren Hayes and Daniel Jones. They released 2 studio albums, 5 compilation albums, and 14 singles. They have sold over 23 million records worldwide. The duo disbanded at the end of 2001, with Darren Hayes continuing as a solo artist. As a solo act, he has released 4 studio albums, 1 compilation album, 1 soundtrack album, and 17 singles. He currently resides in Los Angeles. Daniel Jones now runs a music production company and lives in Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.